Welcome back to another episode of USA Unsolved, rediscovering cases of unsolved murders and missing persons of Asian descent across the United States. Today's case involves a teenager who disappeared back in the 90s, and while her whereabouts are still unknown, her case is classified as endangered missing, which is defined as, quote, a person believed to be in danger because of age, health, mental, or physical disability, in combination with environmental or weather conditions, or is believed to be unable to return to safety without assistance, unquote. While there was a suspect in the disappearance of this teenager, he was never formally charged. But that doesn't mean this person is innocent. You'll see why. Let's begin. Hang Li was born on October 9, 1975. Her family is of Hmong and Laotian descent, and when she was still very young, her and her family arrived in the United States as refugees. They settled down in St. Paul, Minnesota. Just to clarify, while Laos is a country in Southeast Asia, Hmong is not a country. It's essentially an Asian ethnic group, and they generally reside in southwestern China or Southeast Asia, including Myanmar, Thailand, and of course, Laos. Because she moved to the U.S. at a very young age, she had ample time to pick up English and quickly became fluent. If you're a child of immigrant parents, you might be able to relate to Hang's experience growing up, where she and some of her siblings, the ones that were also fluent, had to help her parents with anything related to English. Translating documents, translating conversations, you know the drill. A very interesting tidbit about the Li family is that Hang Li is one of 14 siblings. I know, that's an insane amount of children. I can only imagine how rowdy their home must have been, which makes this case extra sad, as she had so many more core family members mourning her disappearance. Hang Li was generally your average teenager. She had friends, she was a senior at her high school, and she had a part-time job. Her plan was to attend the University of Minnesota. Her main interests include reading and heavy metal music, which you'll be able to tell when you see photos of her. At the time of her disappearance, she lived with her family in the neighborhood of North End in St. Paul. But what happened to Hang Li? On January 12, 1993, around 6 or 7 p.m., Hang left her home with a friend of hers, 18-year-old Nikki Li, no relation to Hang Li and her family. The two got into a car, and it appeared that there were already various other passengers in the car when it drove off. And what's even more strange is that right before Hang left her home, she told one of her younger brothers, Koa, that she was going to a job interview and that, quote, if I don't come back, come and look for me, unquote. As if that wasn't ominous enough, some sources have also reported that she also added an additional comment saying, quote, I don't trust Nikki, unquote. No one knew where she went at the time, but her family never saw her again. Quote, that night she never came home. I woke up to look if there were footprints because of the fresh snow. There were no footprints, so I went to sleep. That was it, until the next day, unquote. With that comment in mind and seeing as Hang Li never returned home, her brother, Koa, confronted Nikki the following day at school, asking where his sister was. Nikki basically told him that she had no idea what he was talking about. Within the next few days, Hang Li's family reported her as a missing person. Because it was the 90s, the police refused to take this report seriously. Sounds like every other case we've come across, but that's just how it went at times. The police told her parents that she had most likely run away. While that is not unheard of, Hang had no reason to run away. Would someone intent on running away and starting a new life not pack even a bag and leave behind their purse? All their clothing items? Their savings? Their last paycheck? Police did their obligatory rounds, asking family and friends if they knew anything about Hang Li's disappearance. Koa, of course, told them what his sister had said, so they questioned a friend, Nikki. Nikki, for whatever reason, seemed intent on leaning into the runaway theory and told the police that she had left Nikki with some of her white friends, and in her opinion, it's likely that Nikki simply ran away with this group of friends. With this theory solidifying in the police's minds, they decided not to pursue Hung Lee's disappearance. Believe it or not, this case sat around for approximately 6 months. As an immigrant family and parents who don't really speak English, I'm sure they were at a loss as to what they could do next. If the police didn't want to help, what else could they do? Who else can they go to? So with the help of the other 13 kids, the Lee family began printing and posting up missing persons flyers with Hung's information. Because of this, the community started to pay more attention, and it also sounded like the police were more or less forced to do some more digging. Otherwise, it kind of looked bad, I guess. They went back again to question Nikki, this so-called friend who was last seen with Hung Lee, and this time, she had a complete different story to tell the police. According to Nikki's new story, she had referred Hung Lee to a man named Mark Stephen Wallace, who also happened to be her employer. At the time of her disappearance, Hung had been working at a local Chinese restaurant called Wong Cafe. This restaurant opened in 1923 and has sadly closed since. But according to Nikki, Hung Lee had told her previously that she was looking for a higher paying job. Not sure if she wanted a second part-time job or if she wanted to switch. She probably wanted to make more money for college. So who is this Mark Stephen Wallace guy? He was a small business owner, mainly doing paint jobs. He had his own store and he lived above his place of business. He had allegedly asked Nikki, as well, if she had any friends who were looking for jobs. And at the time, Nikki did find this strange, as he didn't have enough jobs going on to actually hire more people. Regardless, maybe she thought she was doing them both a solid by introducing them. So instead of sticking with her Hung Lee ran away story, she told police that both her and Hung had been in Wallace's car. He dropped Nikki off at her house first, and then drove off with Hung Lee. That would be the last time she saw her. As to why she lied the first time, Nikki explained that she actually did think Hung had run away at first, and didn't want to get her into trouble. But the next bit doesn't really add up in my opinion. She said that Wallace had also instructed her not to tell anyone about the meeting that night. Suspicious? Interesting how Nikki's story changed, and it's extremely frustrating that it took 6 months for all this to come out. 6 months had to pass by for people to look deeper into this case, to take this more seriously. I understand the police can't be everywhere and do everything. They're humans, after all. But Hung Lee was technically still a minor, and the circumstances were just not really adding up. Well, perhaps better later than never. With this new information, police immediately looked into this Mark Stephen Wallace guy. Maybe he also had a story for them. Wallace, however, confirmed Nikki's account, saying that after dropping off Nikki, he drove Hung Lee and dropped her off at an intersection near Wong Cafe. Except, she never made it home. So was he being truthful and something happened after she was dropped off? Or was he just lying to cover his own ass? While I dislike being judgmental about a suspect, Wallace is anything but innocent. The police looked into who Wallace was, and what they found was very alarming. A few years prior to Hung Lee's disappearance, Wallace had been convicted in 2 cases involving violent rape. While that is concerning, what actually stood out even more is that in one of the cases, he had used promises of a job opportunity to lure one of his victims, a 16-year-old girl. Does that sound familiar? I guess this was enough for the police, so they obtained search warrants for both his place of business and his home. Unfortunately, nothing incriminating turned up. He quickly hired a lawyer after this and pretty much kept his distance from the police. Now fast forward to 2009, police launched another search into the home that he had been living in for the past few years. They brought in cadaver dogs, and it appeared that they picked up a scent somewhere underneath the garage. Holes were drilled, but nothing came up. But this guy just doesn't learn, because in 2016, he was again arrested, this time caught red-handed. He was staying at a motel with a 20-year-old woman, who he was holding hostage. She was a daughter of one of his friends. According to the victim, she was staying with him as she had nowhere to go at the time, and Wallace offered to let her stay with him as long as she did housework for him. But he quickly became abusive, and when the police found them, he was charged with kidnapping, stalking, and possession of meth. While on one of his verbally abusive tirades towards the victim, he had allegedly threatened to do to her what he did to that girl in 1993, which I would think is him referring to Hung Lee. He continued on, saying that he knew exactly how to get rid of evidence and how to cut through bone. The most damning thing he said was probably, quote, "She entered my business and never came out," unquote. To this day, we still don't know what happened to Hung Lee, and while her father passed away in 2012, the rest of her family is still looking for answers. In 2017, the Lee family held a memorial service for Hung Lee, which is described as a spiritual release ceremony meant to free the person's soul. It doesn't seem like Wallace has admitted to anything regarding Hung Lee, but with the information presented, it sure feels like he's involved, at least to me. In 2020, Wallace was sent to a Minnesota Sex Offender Program Center in Moose Lake, Minnesota. It is said that he would remain there until he is rehabilitated. But knowing his track record, it's difficult to imagine him making a complete change. Of course, if he does, then great. Maybe he'll even give more insight to Hung Lee's disappearance. But until then, this is what we're left with. Quote, "Finding out what happened to my sister and recovering her body, if it's anywhere, it is more important to me, my mom, and my family." Unquote. That's what her younger brother, Koa, had said. If you have any information on Hung Lee's disappearance, please reach out to the number listed in the show notes. It's a long shot, but you never know. Thank you again for your time, and please take care and be safe. Till next time.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that, cools up to 8 times faster, and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus free home delivery with any bed and base. Ends Monday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.